Good to be in God's house tonight, ain't it? Good to see every one of you's out. We're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 tonight. We're going to be reading a few different verses, but just going to read one verse to take our message from if we can. Verse number 21. While you're looking for it, I think we all realize that death is certain. It is coming. The preacher got up in church one Sunday morning and he said, "I want everybody to know that someday every member of this church is going to die." The little boy on the front pew started giggling. Kind of made the preacher mad. And he got a little louder. He said, "I want you to know that everybody, every member of this church is going to die." The little boy just laughed out loud. He said, "Son, what are you laughing at?" He said, "I ain't a member of this church." If you found it, if you don't mind to stand out of reverence to God's Word, just looking at one scripture here, 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, verse number 21 says, "For He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come before You this evening. Father, we're so thankful to be back in Your house again tonight. We're so thankful to be able to be with Your people and to fellowship with Your people. Father, we're thankful that we're beginning to see just a little bit of normalcy in our world. We're thankful, Father, that we've gotten to hug a few necks and shake a few hands. But Father, most of all, we're thankful tonight to be saved. Lord, we're thankful, God, that You sent Your Son to die on a cross for our sins, Father. Otherwise, we would be everlastingly doomed. Father, we ask You to help us tonight as we stand. I can't do this without You. Lord, I'm going to need You tonight. Lord, as I need You every day. So, Father, we ask You, God, to anoint our tongue and our lips. Let us do what is Your will. Lord, let us not only be hearers of Your Word, but doers also. Let us take it in our heart. Let us learn of it and let us live by it. It's in Jesus' precious name we humbly pray. And amen and amen. Years ago, Dottie Rambo penned the song, "Remind Me, Dear Lord." She penned the song after a thought that came to her in prayer. She had just had a song go number one on the charts. And she got down and she started thinking, and a thought came to her mind was, "I'm thanking You because something happened and I noticed it, but Lord, remind me of all the things that You've done that I haven't thanked You for. Remind me of all the things that You've done for me that I don't think about every day. Remind me of all the things that You've done that I forget about sometimes. Lord, remind me." So tonight, if I had a title for my message, it would simply be, "Lord, remind me." We don't remember sometimes the things that God's done for us. We don't pay attention sometimes to the things that God's done for us. And He's been so good to us in our life. He's helped us, and if you're saved tonight, He's saved you. That's enough right there to be thankful for from here till we go home, and then thank Him for eternity when we get there. But He's been so good, and for that reason, sometimes we just need to humbly bow. Just get down and humbly bow and thank God and remind us. Ask Him to remind us of all the things that we've forgotten. Ask Him to remind us so that we would have the thankful heart that we ought to have. In this passage, Paul, he points out the amazing work that God has done in the life of a believer. I don't know if there's a believer out there that probably could have painted this picture the way Paul did. If you would look at Paul's life before he became a believer, you would know that he understands the transformation. He understands what it's like to go from Saul to Paul. He knows what it's like to be doomed to an everlasting hell and then going to an everlasting heaven. He knows what that's like. Up in verse number 17, it says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Paul knew what it was like to become new. Paul knew what the old man done and what the old man said and what the old man thought and the way the old man acted. But he says, "Behold, all things are become new." Paul knew what it meant to become new. And he reminds us down here in verse number 21. He said, "He has made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." Paul knew what it was like. And he said, "For those who are in Christ," that's what I like. He says in verse 17, "If any man be in Christ," I'm glad that we can be in Christ. There's a lot of things that are associated with a lot of names, a A lot of actors, you associate them with the name of their movie, or an athlete, you associate them with a story or a statistic or maybe a team that they play for. A lot of people are associated with a lot of things, but I'm glad that beside my name, it says in Christ. I'm glad that beside of a believer's name, it says that he's in Christ or she's in Christ. No better writer that could have wrote about this than Paul. I love to read Paul's writings. Paul writes in a way that even people like me can understand. Over in Titus chapter 2, verse number 14, it says, He who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Jesus gave himself for us. He became for us. It says that he made himself to be sin for us who knew no sin. It says that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. We keep going back to looking and seeing that this is all what Jesus has done for us. He gave himself for us. There are several types of people here in this church tonight. There are people who need to be changed by Christ. There are those. There are people who've been changed, and then there's people who need to be reminded of the change. I think sometimes, and especially through all of this COVID situation, I think it's gotten real easy to be complacent and just say, I'm a Christian. I go to church. It's been real easy to just be a member of the church, and that's about it. But sometimes we've forgotten along the way that what it means to not only be a Christian, what it means to be a church member, but what it means to be in Christ. I think sometimes we need to be reminded. And that needs to be our prayer. Lord, remind me. One thing that we could ask him is, Lord, remind me of your love. In that verse, it starts out, it says, for he hath made him to be sin for us. That's love. You say, preacher, how do you get love out of that? If we're honest, every single one of us has to admit that sometimes we're a little hard to love. I know me. I know what I'm capable of. I know what I've done in my life. I know who I've been in my life. I'm not always easy to love. There are times in my life where I have thought, God, how could you still love me beyond this and beyond that, beyond my faults and beyond my failures, beyond my faithlessness? How could you still love me? But he does. You know, I look at that and I think about our parents. I think about our children. I think about our spouses, and they live with us. They've seen us grow up. We've helped raise them, and you know, all of these people in our lives who love us no matter what. It's unconditional love. But they don't even see the rock bottom of our soul. They don't truly see who we are. They see who we've allowed them to see us to be. But God sees who we really are. God sees down that miry clay. God sees all the way down from the soles of your feet all the way to the top of your head and knows everything that you've ever done. And he still loved you. He still loved me, even though we're hard to love. Lord, remind me of your love. When we're reminded of his love, we have to remember that he loves us beyond our faults. If we're to be honest, we have to admit that we have faults. We have personality quirks. There's times that maybe we don't have the best attitude, the most positive attitude. There's times when maybe our mouth gets away from us a little bit. We say things that maybe sound a little hateful or anything that's less than loving. Sometimes our mind gets away from us and we have evil thoughts or impure thoughts. It's just being honest. We have faults in our life. Paul even talked about a thorn in his flesh. Everyone who lives has faults. If you're perfect tonight, then not only do you still have faults, but you're a liar. None of us are perfect. We all have faults. God loves us beyond those faults. Not only do we have faults, but he loves us beyond our failures. I have failed him. I fail him every single day. There is one more that I could have told about him. There is one more that I could have witnessed to. There is one more that I could have prayed for. There is one more that I could have compelled to come in. I have failed him. We've all failed him. But beyond those failures, beyond those faults, he still loved us. And then we look at, Lord, remind me of your love. Then we have to be reminded that he loves us beyond our faithlessness. I would love to stand and tell you that no matter what comes my way, that I have faith. But that's just not true. That's just not true. It's not true at all. Here a few months back, I lost my father. During that time, I didn't have a whole lot of faith. I was scared. I'd never tried to live my life without my dad. I'd had him there and I had no faith because I didn't know how I could go on and didn't realize how much I needed him in my life. But I'm glad that no matter what leaves us, no matter who goes on to the other side, that God steps in a new role. He steps in a new role. He fills voids in our lives. And we may not ever understand. We may not ever see how it's going to be okay, but it will be okay. I look at times in my life where I've seen my children sick. I've seen one that needed surgery and was in the process of having surgery. And I couldn't understand, God, you made us all think that it was going to be all right. And here she is going to have surgery. Wasn't a whole lot of faith. Because if I'd had faith like I should have, I'd have realized she was having surgery. And God made a way for her to have surgery. And that's why everything was going to be okay. We had one that had an immune deficiency and just everything was making him sick. He couldn't even go to public school and he's having heart problems and they're talking about having open heart surgery on him. Why, God? Why are you allowing this? I'm going to be honest with you. His baseball coach is here tonight. We were told he'd never play again. Danny Missy, I believe y'all were there the night his first football game back after he was released. I'll never forget this as long as I live. The doctor had told us he'll never play sports again. He cannot play sports. His heart's not strong enough. He's going to have heart surgery. We know he's going to. We're down to the point now of deciding whether you want to go to Duke or Vanderbilt. Later on, we found out he don't need heart surgery. A few months later, we go back to the cardiologist, and the cardiologist says, Eli, do you want to play sports? Because the way things look, I think you're strong enough. So I called the director of the recreation league down there where the boys played football and the girls played ball. And I said, Mike, is there any way Eli could play football? And he said, he can't play football. His heart won't let him. I said, well, guess what we just got told? This was Wednesday. We had a ball game on Thursday. He said, you get him down here. We'll find him a uniform, some pads. We'll put him in tomorrow night. And I thought, well, he won't get to play tomorrow night, but we'll get him in there and he'll be dressed out anyway. We go into this ball game that night. He sits for the first couple minutes. I know he's already disappointed because he'd never sat on the sideline. All of a sudden, one of the coaches looked at him and said, we're going to put you in linebacker. And he looks at me like a deer in the headlights. He never played linebacker. I said, look for the ball and attack the ball. That's all I know to tell you, son. I don't know what to tell you. Boy had never played it before. He'd been defensive end. He'd played running back. He'd been tight end. He'd never played linebacker. He had no idea what to do. I said, look for the ball, attack the ball. Just go after it. Next thing I know, I keep hearing it over the intercom. Eli, not with that tackle. Eli, not with that tackle. Eli, not with that tackle. You know why? Because God made a way that even though I had no faith, even though I didn't believe him, God made a way. That following Sunday morning, we walked in here. And Eli just couldn't wait. I said, what's wrong, buddy? He said, I just want to go into children's church and tell every one of them kids what God done. So with tears in his eyes, he sat back there in that children's church room, and he told all these kids, and then he finished with, don't ever doubt that God can touch you. Folks, even when I had no faith, God was still working miracles in my life and in my family. Lord, remind me of your love. Remind me of what you've done for me, because sometimes I forget. We look over in Titus chapter number 3, verses 3 and 4, and it says, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But I love it when it changes. It says, but after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. Lord, remind me. Good stuff, ain't it, preacher? Lord, remind me. Lord, remind me. Remind me how much you love me. Remind me of where you brought me from and where I used to be, where I could have been. We also look at we go back to verse 17 for a minute, and we have to think of how we were saved. Lord, remind me of your salvation. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Lord, remind me of your salvation. The phrase in Christ speaks of our salvation. He made us new in salvation. We were lost, and he loved us. He found us. We were defiled, and he washed us. We were dead, and he gave us eternal life. We were empty, and he filled us. Salvation. I can't imagine what life would be like without salvation. Where in the world could I find hope without salvation? How in the world could I find peace without salvation? I know for a fact that there are days that go by that when I pray, I don't thank him, God, thank you for saving me. I know that happens. I know there are nights when I lay my head in bed, or mornings, depending on what shift I'm on. There's times when I go to bed and when I pray, I don't say, thank you for saving me, Lord. But I can tell you, if you are saved tonight, if you would just be reminded of salvation, there's no way you wouldn't want a closer walk. There's no way that you wouldn't be thankful. Everything we see received in salvation came because of the sacrifice that he gave for us. I was reading and I read what a writer wrote a few years ago, and I think I sent his brother Rick a few weeks ago. C.S. Lewis once said, on the back of Satan's neck is a blood-stained footprint. I'm so glad that he defeated death, hell, and the grave for me. I'm so glad that Satan went down in a defeat. Do you know why Satan tempts you? Why Satan attacks you? Because he's already lost to him. He knows there's no use in trying. He knows he has no chance against God. He knows that when Jesus was on that cross, in death, he still whooped him. That's why he goes after us. But on the back of his neck is a nail, or is a blood-stained, a nail-scarred footprint. How in the world could we not be thankful? How in the world could we not trust him, knowing that he saved us and knowing what he's done for us and knowing how much he cares? Lord, remind me of your salvation. Lord, remind me of your mercy. Amen. Verse number 21 says that, and I'm breaking this verse down, so if you think I'm trying to suck it dry, that's exactly what I'm doing, trying my best to. It said, he made him to be sin for us. He made him to be sin for us. Lord, remind me of your mercy. Because of God's mercy, we do not receive what we deserve. Because of his mercy, we don't receive what we deserve. Everyone, everybody here tonight, everyone in the world deserves to spend eternity in hell. Everyone here tonight deserves to die a horrible death. Everyone here tonight will never, ever deserve salvation, will never deserve the love of God, will never deserve Jesus Christ giving his life for our sins. But mercy said, I love him anyway. Mercy said, I'll go anywhere. Mercy said, take this cup from me, but not that I will, thou will be done. Mercy gave us new life. Mercy gave us the opportunity to be saved. Nothing can change the fact that we deserve eternal damnation. But salvation delivers us from that punishment. Salvation is what changes everything. Lord, remind me of your mercy. The regardlessness of mercy. God loved us and shown us mercy regardless of what we've done. Regardless of who we've been. Regardless of where we are. Regardless of who we are. God loved us regardless. God's mercy showed up regardless. I also like the regeneration of mercy. Mercy made us new. I'm glad that there's some things about me that just don't exist anymore. You say, preacher, what do you mean they don't exist anymore? I'll tell you what I mean. I mean you've got a caterpillar. And that caterpillar goes into that cocoon and it comes out a butterfly. That ain't no caterpillar no more. It's a butterfly now. It can't ever go back and be a caterpillar again. I'm saying there's a part of me that don't exist anymore. I'm saying there's a part of me, you say, well, you're still able. I'm still able to sin. I am more than capable of sinning. I've seen me do it. But I'm telling you that there's a part of me that doesn't exist anymore. That old man has passed away. Amen. Behold, all things become new. There is regeneration in mercy. Mercy made us new. Also, there's relief in mercy. I love the relief of mercy, and Lord, remind me of that relief. You say, preacher, how can you find relief in mercy? I'm relieved in knowing that God showed me mercy. Years ago, my brother wrote a song that said, Mercy Said No. That was the name of the song. It painted a picture of a courtroom, and Satan was standing in the courtroom, and he was arguing with God about everything that you had done. He had told God about how that you had sinned and how that you had just totally defiled yourself. It said, but mercy said no. His sentence has been paid. Mercy said no. On his back the cross was laid. I'm glad that whenever all my sins are brought against me, that mercy can say no. Because of salvation, because of Jesus going to that cross and dying for our sin, mercy said no. So because I'm saved, I don't have to worry about it. Because I'm saved, it'll be okay. Because I'm saved, I have relief. I can sleep at night. I don't have to worry about what happens if Jesus comes back. I don't have to worry about what happens if I go to work and there's an accident. I don't have to worry about what if I'm driving down the road and somebody pulls out in front of me. I don't have to worry about these things. All I get to do now is look forward to going and seeing my Savior. Going and seeing people that have passed on. Going and finally seeing that crystal clear river. Looking forward to those streets of gold and gates of pearl. That's what I get to look forward to. So rather than dreading it, I can have relief. Lord, remind me of your mercy. Lord, remind me of your grace. On down in verse number 21, it says that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Remind me of your grace. See, mercy made Him to be sin who knew no sin. Jesus didn't deserve that. In no way would Jesus ever deserve that. He didn't know sin, but He became sin. But grace said that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. We don't deserve that. We could never deserve that. There's nothing that could make us deserving that. While mercy is receiving what we do deserve, not receiving what we do deserve, grace is not receiving what we do deserve. Grace is unmerited favor with God. There's nothing I could do to ever deserve grace. There's nothing you could ever do that would help you to deserve grace. But it's unmerited favor of God. And I'm thankful for it. Grace guarantees eternal life. Because of grace, I can live forever with Him. Now, I think sometimes we forget because we use the word eternal life a little too loosely. So we forget that everyone lives forever. Even if you're lost, everyone lives forever. The difference is, where are you going to live? The worm dieth not in hell. It's eternal. Folks, I'm going to be honest with you. I remember growing up, there were times that I heard preachers preach on hell so hard that I thought I was there. But people aren't scared of hell no more. People ain't scared of it. They don't care. It don't bother them anymore. Folks, it's real. And it's hot. And it's eternal. And you will never find happiness there. It is as bad as you can imagine, plus some. The horrible facts of hell are multiplied just as much as the wonderful facts of heaven are when you try to fathom how wonderful it'll be. There's no way that we could ever imagine how wonderful heaven will be. But there's no way that the mind could ever imagine how horrible hell would be. And either way, no matter where you go, you're there for eternity. There's no escaping it. The only way to escape hell is through and by Jesus Christ. The only way. Grace guarantees eternal life. Grace gives hope in every situation. because of God's grace, I have hope. I have hope that the next thing that comes up, and I'm sure, unless God comes back, something else will come up. But I have hope in it. I know in my heart that no matter how bad things look, and no matter how faithless I may be at that point in time, right now I know that I can have hope. Amen. Right now I know that I will be seen through. Do you ever notice in the 23rd Psalm how it says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death"? Do you ever notice it saying "two"? It does say "through." Because it's like a tunnel. Because you come out on the other side. You come out on the other side. Folks, that's the wonderful thing about God. With God, you will come out on the other side of your trials. But you have to trust Him. Grace gives hope in every situation. Grace, here's something else that we get that we don't deserve. Grace creates a relationship between God and man. I've got a few friends in this life. There are a few of them that I believe I can call on about any time. They'd help me any way they could. They'd love me through it. They'd be there for me. I believe that. I really do. But when I look at a lot of famous people, there ain't a one of them I could ever call on. I don't know them. I'd have to have connections. I'd have to maybe be a member of their entourage or maybe know their managers. But every one of us have immediate access to the Creator of this universe. And in hard times, we sometimes think that's not enough. Folks, that's everything. The one who created this world, the one who sent His Son to die for us, we can have a direct line straight to Him. We can have a direct relationship to Him. But that's the problem with us church people. We forget that we are supposed to have a relationship rather than we're supposed to be religious. A lot of people are religious. It's those that have a relationship that really know how good God is. It's those that have a relationship that talk to God just to be talking to God. It's those that have a relationship that don't have to be reminded as often. But because of grace, we can have a relationship with the Creator of this world, of this universe, of all things. Coming to my last point, Lord, remind me of Your sacrifice. I said I was going to pick this one apart. I'm finishing with two words found at the end of verse 21. In Him. In Him. I don't know how to break it down any more simple than that. Everything is possible in Him. In Him. Jesus left the glories of heaven just to come and be mocked and ridiculed and hated and eventually die for our sins because of His sacrifice. Because of in Him. We can go to heaven. I'm glad to know that we can go to heaven. I could sit up here all night and try to preach on some great theological study. I could go through the Revelations and do a seminar on eschatology. We could go through and read all of the prophecies of the Old Testament and see how they line up with Revelations. But folks, it all ends one way. Heaven or hell. It's pretty simple. The path to heaven, it's pretty simple. It's pretty simple. God had it designed before the foundation of the world. The path to heaven is pretty simple. Lord, remind me of that sacrifice You made, because that's how I get to heaven. Lord, remind me of Your sacrifice, because that's how I have comfort of the Holy Spirit. I'm glad that even, that's the amazing thing. Here Jesus was fixing to die. He had some friends that kind of followed Him. A couple of them were questionable people. But they kind of followed Him. He starts telling them how He's going to die. He says, "Don't worry. You don't have to worry about me dying. You don't have to worry. Why don't you have to worry? Because he sent a comforter. Because as soon as Jesus was gone, there was another that was summoned. I'm so glad to have the comfort of the Holy Spirit. You say, preacher, I don't know that I've ever felt the comfort of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to tell you, there was a man stood by an opening on a cave one day that I don't know if he had felt the comfort of the Holy Spirit either. But when he felt it, heard a still small voice, I believe he got just a little taste of it. There's been times sitting in this church right here that you could almost feel just a cool breeze. That's you, ain't it? There's been times in my life where the last thing I expected was exactly what God worked out. That's you, ain't it? And then you just feel that little tingle. Folks, the Holy Spirit is very real. And I'm glad that because of His sacrifice, we have the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Lord, remind me of Your sacrifice because we can live this life in joy knowing what is beyond this. I can be happy. I can be happy tonight. I can be happy looking at what I have in this life. God's blessed me abundantly. There is no way that myself, within myself, I could have provided what God has provided for me. But I know that I can be happy and have joy in what I have after this as well. God's been so good to me. I can be happy. His sacrifice made all things possible. Sister Teresa, could you come on up? And I had Amanda to ask Sister Teresa if she could do a song for me. And told her, I said, now if she knows it, you give me a thumbs up. So I seen Amanda give me a thumbs up. I said, thank you, Lord. I needed that. But tonight, as we close, I do want to ask you to pray. I want to ask you to pray that you'd be reminded. Lord, remind me. In those times that I doubt, in those times that I fear, every day, Lord, remind me of what You've done. Remind me of Your love. Remind me of Your grace. Remind me of Your mercy. Remind me of Your sacrifice. Remind me of Your salvation. Lord, remind me. And let us pray for those who don't know Him. I'm sure that each and every one of us have family members and friends that have never lived for the Lord. They've never been saved. We need to pray for them. We need to pray hard for them because it's like the preacher said this morning, we're on the threshold between now and eternity. Mark chapter 1 verse 15 says, and saying the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand, repent ye and believe the gospel. So tonight, ask the Lord to remind you. Bring back some excitement. Rekindle the fire. Remind me, Lord. Remind me of where I could have been. Remind me of what I've done. Remind me of how good You've been. And also pray for those that don't know Him. It's coming pretty close. Sister Therese, if you will, go ahead and sing. I'm going to turn it over to the pastor for the altar call.
The things that I love and hold dear to my heart are just borrowed, they're not mine at all. Jesus, only let me use them to brighten my life. Why He loved me I can't understand. Roll back the curtain. die in my stead. Why he loves me, I can't.